All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Excuse me. Maligator is on. General Plowman is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Skunk 71 is on. Judy Anita is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Mike Griffith is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Robin Aroni is on. JD Will is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Let's see, Mike Griffith is on, Snag Dog is on, John Phillips is on, Lady Vu is on, Granite 2468 is on, General Plowman is on, K4VMS is on, Keeper 1376 is on, Veronica 18201 is on, Bud Dave is on, Guitar Glenn is on, let me see here, Hanslick Donovan is on, LEG is on, Deb New is on, Sheila K is on, Lisa Kinzer's on, Steffa Toms is on, Kathy 1604 is on, Behaven is on, Golf Master 1 is on, Sunwoo 45 is on, Todd Suff is on, Biggie 92678 is on, Laura Jean Lynn is on, Gloyd Shaw is on. Let me see here, scrolling down. Leon Fish Puppy is on, Milwaukee James is on. Satcom 9475 is on. Joe Heathen is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. I just have to say one thing off of the pregame with Jake Tapper. He continued to do his book tour. His book, allegedly, Original Sin is what it's called. Don't buy it. He's making his book tour, and allegedly it's on the New York Times bestsellers. Who knows who's buying the books? Hopefully nobody out there is buying them, because you just buy a book about everything we already know just from other sources, and now sources inside the White House about Biden's mental collapse. But what Jake Tapper is actually espousing is this, is that there's no way for him to have known about Joe Biden's mental decline except for people inside the White House to tell him. That's the only way you could ever know. What he's saying is he's going around making all the stops right now, doing his tour to sell his book on all the different shows. And he's saying the reason why he never talked about Biden's mental decline was because he was told there wasn't one. How do you not just simply see it, which he did, which makes him a liar? Simple as that. I mean, really, Jake, you're going to go around and you're going to tell everybody the reason why you never talked about Biden's mental decline is because you were lied to. When all the rest of us could just simply see it. Like when he fell down over and over again, where he couldn't climb up the big boy stairs onto Air Force One, so they brought in the little boy stairs. How he couldn't finish the sentence when he would say things like, you know, the greatness of America can be summed up in one word. And you can't see any mental decline. So you see all of those things. But because the White House told you that what you saw was not true, you believe them. I mean, how much of a simpleton does that make you? All right, let's go into all things Donald Trump. Let's go economics first. Donald Trump, Truth Social Post. I received a call from Ursula von der Leyen, president of the European Union, requesting an extension on the June 1st deadline on the 50% tariff with respect to trade in the European Union. Great reason why to leave this up. Great reason to talk about this is because he was accused in the White House today. Of course, Donald Trump does a press conference at least once a day. And really, it's like all day is a press conference. No matter what he does, no matter where he's at, he takes questions. He's on the plane, he takes questions. There and back, they're about to land, he takes questions. I mean, numerous times you see him doing these press conferences, he has to tell the press corps, you know, we're about to land, so that's, you know, everyone needs to go take their seats. So he does them then. Every time he's signing something, he does a press conference. Randomly answers questions all the time. Whenever he has leaders coming, he has a giant gaggle around them, and they just can ask random questions, and people can say whatever they want, but everybody's in there. From all the left-leaning sites, all the right-leaning sites, everybody is still in there. Caitlin Collins is still in there. They can talk about him banning the AP because they refuse to say Gulf of America. It doesn't matter. They're all still represented in there. Every single Pravda media outlet is in there. The Goebbels media is in there. They're all there. The Mockingbird media is there. So he was asked today from one of the, I can't remember, I think it was NBC, but asked a question about tariffs. And the reporter was quoting the Wall Street Journal saying the only downside about Trump and tariffs is that he always chickens out on tariffs. It's a quote from the Wall Street Journal. Does Donald Trump ever chicken out on tariffs? No, this is what he does. Imagine framing it as Donald Trump chickens out on tariffs. Let's just use China as an example, because that's what the Wall Street Journal is doing, that Donald Trump chickened out on tariffs. So what was happening before? What was happening was is that we were receiving a 30 to 50% tariff on all of our goods. And by the way, those are the goods they allow in. Then you have basically the 1,000% tariffs on all the goods that are not allowed in. Are you Chevrolet allowed to sell their cars in China? No. Ford? No. They're not allowed to sell their cars there. I mean, Tesla builds their factories there. But I don't think they sell Teslas there because China has its own version of electric cars. They have fields of these electric cars because they don't work. But they allow them to build Teslas there, but not sell Teslas there. I don't know that for a fact, but it certainly seems to be that way. But Ford and Chevy, for sure. So you have the tariffs that the Chinese put on our goods that are allowed into the country. And then you have all of the goods that are not allowed in the country. That's basically like a 1,000% tariff. I'm just making that up. I'm just saying they don't allow our goods in the country. And by the way, that's in numerous countries all around the world. So Donald Trump does what? He says, you know what, China, we're going to put 145% tariff on all of your goods coming into the United States. So then China calls for a summit, just like Ursula von der Leyen is now doing. And then China comes in and says, okay, you know what? We're going to drop all of the tariffs down to 10%. And Donald Trump goes, okay, you know what? We'll drop ours from 145 to 30. So it goes from basic, a complete reversal of now all of our goods going to China are tariffed at 10%. And all of Chinese goods coming in the United States are tariffed at 3 times that amount. So he's completely reversed the ethos. And he says to have, because before we were being tariffed at 3 to 4 times the amount that we are tariffing China. And Donald Trump completely reversed it, completely reversed the entire situation. And he's accused of chickening out. So he puts 100% or 50, I think it's 50%. Yeah, 50% tariffs on the European Union. And then they're coming to the table. So if Donald Trump lowers it to 49, according to the mainstream media, he chickened out on tariffs. Now, what about all the Democratic, what about Hussein Obama and Joe Biden, all the Democratic Party presidents over the last several decades who never instituted any tariffs? Isn't that a grand chicken out when you never even tried to get in the tariff game? And by the way, every time Donald Trump does, we end up with less tariffs going into those countries and more of our tariffs being put on them coming into our country. So here, 50% tariff with respect to the trade in the European Union. I agree to the extension, which goes to July 9th, 2025. As soon as Donald Trump put those 50% tariffs on them, Ursula was making a phone call. Keir Starmer immediately went out, and they started talking about their speech ban. Tommy Robinson's been released from prison. That's weird, isn't it? 7 months in solitary. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't usually pimp the post game this early in the show, but you got to stick around for the last video of the post game. You have to stick around for it. It made me cry. You've got to see it. It's Tommy Robinson's release. It's set to music. Oh my gosh, so good. Make sure. Oh my gosh, so good.
Oh my gosh,
stick around for it. It's so good. But anyway, so stick around for that. So anyway, Tommy Robinson's release. Keir Starmer goes out and makes a public statement that we are going to have to stop banning speech because Trump's not going to trade with us. So that he chickened out on tariffs. Imagine putting that out as your narrative. It was a privilege to do so. The commission president said that talks will begin rapidly. Yeah, no wonder. You know, here it is. So if he lowers it to 48%, the narrative for the mainstream media is going to be that Trump chickened out on tariffs. When what will happen is basically the same thing when it comes to China. Because as Donald Trump also said in that press conference today, we are the hottest country in the world. Matter of fact, we're the only country with heat on us. Everybody wants to trade here. I got the official number. Guess how much foreign and domestic investment Donald Trump has secured in the first 128 days of his presidency. Get this, Aaron. Get this, Will. $14 trillion in foreign and domestic investment in the United States of America. What, Aaron, can you add it up again? Can you find Joe Biden's?
Let me see. No.
Okay, there aren't any. There isn't any. Okay, there you go. So there it is. $14 trillion. $14 trillion. They want to talk about him chickening out. Imagine being so disingenuous, so devoid of all self-respect and integrity that you put out that narrative in respect to a man who has secured $14 trillion worth of foreign and domestic investment into our economy. Can you imagine all those freaking jobs and high paying at that? Because a lot of them are high tech and fossil fuels. Watch out. All right, let's go to the next one. Tucker Carlson video. Now here's the thing. What we're going to do tonight, this will be a fun game for everybody, is we're going to vacillate back and forth. Talk about the good parts of the big, beautiful bill, because now it is in the Senate. You have, Aaron, can you side by side that? We have Ron Johnson, who has said he won't sign it. Mike Lee has said he won't sign it. Rand Paul has said he won't sign it. So these are good people. They're not going to sign it because it puts us another, they're estimating between $20 and $30 trillion in debt over the next decade or so. We can't do it, folks. We cannot do it. So anyway, I'm going to play him, and then and I'm going to show you a long tweet on Stephen Miller's retort to what these senators are saying. And then, you know what? Here at the TLP, re-report. I scream and I take my side, and then you decide what side you're on. So Tucker Carlson video. Here's what happened when Senator Ron Johnson talked about the Big Beautiful Bill. Play for me.
President Obama, over the course of his 8 years, his average deficit was $910 billion. Over the last, and I want to quick do this so I'm accurate, over the last 4 years of his administration is about $550 billion. Okay? So $500 billion deficit over his last 4 years. President Trump came into office in his first 3 years, the average deficit was about $800 billion. So he bumped up Obama's four-year average from 550 to 800. Then COVID hit, and we had a deficit of $3.1 trillion just that 1 year. Now, what we should have done in 2021 when Biden came into office is we should have returned to a reasonable pre-pandemic level. The pandemic was over. We didn't have to keep, you know, we had unemployment spike up to, I think, 25 million people. Normal unemployment somewhere between 5 and 6. But within a few months, it was around 11 and then returned to pretty much normal early in 2021. We didn't have to keep stimulating the economy, but Biden did. Biden averaged $1.9 trillion per year in deficit. So Obama, when he left, his last 4 years, 550. Trump, before the pandemic, a little more than $800 billion per year. Biden, in his 4 years, went up to $1.9 trillion. And now CBO is projecting, and again, a rosy scenario, that we'll be averaging $2.2 trillion over the next 10 years. So we'll take our debt from $37 trillion up to $59 trillion. And if we extend the current tax law, take away $4 trillion in revenue, roughly, that add another $4 trillion. The spending cuts they're talking about, they're paltry. You know, $1.5 trillion, some of those are fake. Some of those are extended way out. They're offset by
out?
10 years.
10 years?
Yeah. I mean, we'll spend the money up front for the border, for defense. So that also takes away from that $1.5 trillion in spending. So at most, we're maybe cutting spending $1.2 trillion. Part of that, a few hundred billion, I think, is student loan forgiveness, which the Supreme Court will probably rule unconstitutional. We're not going to spend it anyway, but they count that as savings. So much of the savings they're talking about in the One Big Beautiful Bill is phony. It's fake. Or it's in the out years where if Republicans lose power, Democrats would just restore it.
See, this is what they always do. And just so you know, and this is with Mike Johnson, Mike Johnson at the helm, and nothing has changed. Mike Johnson was Speaker of the House prior to Donald Trump taking office, obviously, and he passed every minibus and omnibus bill that Joe Biden wanted. We have continued the Biden spending levels. Mike Johnson is in charge of the purse of the United States or the wallet of the United States. So just going over this, just remember something. What we are talking about spending in 2025 is $7,000 billion. $7,000 billion. That's $7 trillion. $7,000 billion. And I just want to ask you all, again, our pre-COVID spending, I have it right here, 2019, pre-COVID spending is $4.4 trillion. It is now $7 trillion. Can I ask everybody a question out there? A couple thousand people watching right now, not counting who's watching on a Christian television network. What have you received from that? What benefit have you received? Are your roads better? I mean, is anything better at all? So where is all of this money going? It's going to Democratic Party NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats, hiring other Democratic consultants and attorneys and donating to Democratic Party campaigns. That's all that we're doing. We're renting buildings for $60 million a month that are empty. All over D.C. and all over the United States of America. I can't remember what it was, Aaron might remember, of how many buildings are owned by the federal government around the United States of America. I can't remember what, I think it was 300,000, something like that. It's unbelievable. It's umpteen thousands. So why is it that we are spending at post-COVID levels when there is no COVID? Because what was the big jump? The big jump was this. So in 2019, the government spending was $4.4 trillion. That was upped $3 trillion in 1 year by Donald Trump for the pandemic, the plandemic, for the 99.9% survival virus that everybody, not us red-pilled people, that everyone wanted to pretend was the second coming of the bubonic plague. So we all run around, not we, they all ran around and pretended, just like men calling women, just like the culture that wants to call women men and men women. They're all going to run around, and they're going to play eight-year-old pretend games. And this is a 99.9% survival virus that everyone's going to pretend is 99.9% unsurvivable. Aaron just sent it to me. 300,000 federal buildings in the United States that are funded by you and I. How do they benefit us at all? How? Are they hurricane shelters? No. Are they anything to us? No. Most of them are completely empty because only 6% of the federal workforce actually reports to work on a daily basis. That wasn't 60%. That was 6%. 94% stay at home. Why do we have all these buildings? So why are we spending it? So we're spending $4.4 trillion a year, which is not even necessary. By the way, that's a $1 trillion deficit in and of itself. So 4.4 was instantly brought up to $7 trillion when the pandemic hit. So when the pandemic left, why is it that we didn't go back down $3 trillion? Where's it going now? I mean, always make things very simple. We were spending $4 trillion on who knows what. The pandemic comes in, and we're spending, we added $3 trillion in that 1 year in 2020. 1 year, 2020. Add $3 trillion to our government spending, right? For the pandemic. And then when the pandemic is over, why would we not return back? Because if it's being spent on the pandemic, then when the pandemic is over, then why wouldn't we go back to 4.4 or maybe just go back down to 5? Why is it that we are exactly the same now? Now we're spending $7 trillion a year and we're bringing in $5 trillion a year in tax revenue, going $2 trillion per year into debt. And if we pass the big, beautiful bill, because it's a front-loaded bill where they spend all the money now, but don't worry, Aaron, don't worry, Will, don't worry, everybody that's watching, they're going to do all the savings a decade from now. Just like all the illegal immigrants could report for their notice to appears 7 years from now. This is typical, absolutely typical Potomac politics. And it's done by Republicans. It's done by Republicans, right? Now, including Donald Trump. He's endorsed this big, beautiful bill. We got to be honest about Trump. He's the greatest president in my lifetime. Could be if he deals with this. If he doesn't deal with this, he won't be the greatest president of all time. Notice that nine now that's up there? Anybody notice that nine now? 36 trillion, 908 billion. Anybody notice that nine is there now? That nine wasn't there when Trump took office. Why is it still going up? Because we're passing these things. We already passed basically a spending package, a CR, earlier this year that continued the Biden spending levels. Why? Why are we doing that? The Biden spending levels are the post-COVID spending levels, are the COVID spending levels. Went from $4 trillion pre-COVID, when here comes the pandemic, all the awful pandemic where there's no bodies, and nobody died, no excess deaths, not one excess death in 2020. Read the statistical data. The excess deaths started in February of 2021 at the vaccine rollout. None before that. The most virulent variant caused no excess deaths at all. The excess deaths began in February of 2021, of course, with the clot shot, with the myocarditis shot, with the stroke shot. So anyway, with the cancer shot. With the SV40 shot. So anyway, so that's where we're at. And this, eventually, we are on a track in a very short period of time to be at $57 trillion in debt. That's a fact, by the way. It's a fact. And the spending went like this. Obama would go $500 billion. He started in his first half of his administration. He was about $800 billion per year in deficit. He lowered it, deficit spending, to $500 billion in his last 4 years. So his overall average was somewhere between $600 and $700 billion. In deficit spending every year. Donald Trump's average because of COVID was $800 billion. Well, no, correction. Prior to COVID, he was at $800 billion. He was worse than Obama. Because everybody, and Donald Trump gets caught into this too, everybody is always saying, well, we have to do it now so that we can get to this outcome and then we'll do it. Sounds like the Christian who says, I'll tithe once I get money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It never works that way. You have to do it now, and the more I read this bill, the more I know about this bill, the more I know what this bill promises and what it doesn't promise, the more I'm against it. Absolutely against it. So that's where we are right now. So we're wondering why it is. And Aaron and I miss Elon. I'm gonna have to write like a song. Well, Aaron will have to write it and sing it. But anyway, I miss Elon. I miss him. Go to the next one for me. Adam Hughes tweet. So here it is. I mean, Elon's kind of like gone, you know? Adam Hughes, breaking, we all share his disappointment. Leading report, Elon Musk reportedly disappointed in congressional Republicans not implementing Doge cuts. They've already re-spent all of $160 billion that he saved in Doge. It's already spent in the new big, beautiful bill. And the real Republicans in the Senate are making the correct stand. And I see Republicans, and good ones at that, I mean really staunch, good Republican accounts, on Twitter attacking them. Primary Ron Johnson, primary Mike Lee. Are you out of your freaking minds? They're right. Sometimes Trump isn't right. I love him. I voted for him 3 times. If he runs again in 2028, I'm voting for him again. He's the best president of my lifetime. Remember, my lifetime, I'm 56, includes Ronald Reagan. He's better than Reagan. But if he doesn't take care of that deficit, he won't be the greatest president of all time. If he gets the deficit even going downward, which, by the way, good news here. If he even gets the deficit going, or the debt and deficits going downward, he will be the greatest president of all time, but it's got to be significant. But by the way, I wanted to tell you, in the last quarter, for the first time in really modern history, there was a lessening in government spending. Finally, there was a decrease in government spending. There actually was a decrease. Now, he'll get attacked because it shows up in the GDP, gross domestic product, as the GDP has gone down. Why has the GDP gone down in the last quarter when we have decreased government spending? Because the gross domestic product, they actually consider the government, whenever there's a government job, like we hire Will as a counselor to the U.S. consulate. He's a counselor. So that's actually considered a product. So now that Trump is dumping all these government jobs, it counts against the GDP. How stupid is that? They count it as a product. Like a car, like a government job is counted as a product, as actually a production of the economy, a produce of the economy is what they claim it as. It's so screwed up. When I show you the Stephen Miller side of this bill, Stephen Miller obviously is in favor of the big, beautiful bill. You'll see his arguments and they're valid. It's why everybody, you can decide, but don't attack each other over this. We should not be spending at deficit levels, no matter what Stephen Miller says. You're going to have to take a stand at some point. We're going to save money 10 years from now. Okay, 10 years from now is 2035. We'll be $57 trillion in debt. Now we're going to start cutting it back. There won't be no U.S. Listen, everything, you know, it's not nuclear war. It's not the mark of the beast. It's not vaccine passports. It's not CBDC. It's not social credit systems, all of which we need to be very much aware of. But what we really need to be paying attention to is the least sexy thing of all, and that's debts and deficits, big time. But Donald Trump, to his credit, for the first time that I can remember, I'm assuming is back, maybe Clinton or Bush did it. I have no idea. But our government spending has actually been decreased right now. But will that hold on? Not if we pass the big, beautiful bill. It will not hold on. But Donald Trump, to his credit, listen, he's done it, and he's added $14 trillion to our economy. Let's go to the next one. All right, so here's Peter St. Ange on the big, beautiful bill. Here come the $3 trillion deficits. Play for me.
Here come the $3 trillion deficits. Last week, stocks fell the most in a month on news the big, beautiful budget passed the House. A bill that will, thanks to rhinos in Congress, add a big, beautiful $5 trillion to the national debt. With rubber guns like this, who needs Democrats? The first market to hit was bonds, which always get nervous when governments can't pay their bills. The 20-year bond broke the psychologically important level of 5%, a level last seen in April of 2007, as in right before the financial crisis. Now, last week, I mentioned the collapse in Japanese bonds as their government admits they can never again afford tax cuts. America is now one big, beautiful step behind. Spending will never drop again, no matter which party is in charge. So the background here is federal spending jumped during COVID at rates we normally see in world wars, going from $4.9 trillion in 2019 to nearly $7 trillion in 2021. That quadrupled deficits from under $1 trillion in 2019 to almost $4 trillion in 2021. The COVID orgy, of course, was bipartisan, but the cage fight was always what happens after the crisis. As in, does the deficit return to Earth, or is that power grab permanent, with a permanent deficit big enough to gobble up the entire republic? Now, with Biden in power, there was still hope. Maybe, just maybe, if we hire Republicans, they'll actually cut the federal government like they've been promising for like a century. Alas, it was not to be. Even before the big, beautiful budget, we were looking at deficits of $22 trillion over the next 10 years. The House just slapped another $5 trillion on that, probably six when the gimmicks come clean, which brings us to nearly $30 trillion of deficit in the next 10 years alone. It's almost $3 trillion per year, and it would nearly double the national debt. Of course, that's if we're lucky. Debt interest alone is on track for $1.8 trillion a year. And of course, if we hit recession, all bets are off, the deficit will be $4 to $5 trillion per year. So this is what knocked bond markets, and it will keep knocking bond markets harder and harder, because just as important as $3 trillion deficits is who did it, the party of fiscal restraint. If Republicans are pushing $3 trillion deficits and Dems are worse, there truly is no hope left. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com, we are entering a crisis decades in the making, starting with the FDR deep state and the Federal Reserve that feeds it like a cancer. We're now in a horse race between Fed and Treasury printing money to kick the can at the cost of inflation and a crashing dollar, versus bond markets, where the so-called bond vigilantes stand ready to deliver righteous justice and double-digit bond yields on a Congress that cannot control itself. We already saw a warning shot last Wednesday with the ugliest bond auction this year sparking that stock crash. History tells us paper money always ends the same. With runaway inflation and crushing government, the question is, can prudent leaders delay the inevitable, buying us a couple more decades like the 1950s or the 1990s, or do they push us headlong off the cliff? A new episode of the pod.
There you go. All right, so there you go. So the party of fiscal restraint, I love what Peter St. Ange said with that. So if you have the party of fiscal restraint spends at the exact same level of the party that is not about fiscal restraint, what's the point of electing Republicans, fiscally speaking? I mean, really, you have to ask yourself that. And here's a little thing. I'm trying to motorcycle put in here. Stop the free piggy bank. Exactly right. I'm talking about motorcycle in the chat. Stop the free piggy bank. All right, there was an argument going on. It's not really an argument, but it's about spending money, because this year we're supposed to send Harvard $2 billion for a college that has $52 billion endowment. Probably primarily made up of the money that you and I send them. But anyway, so we're supposed to send $2 billion. Trump has cut it off because of their anti-Semitic stances. 27% of their student population is from foreign countries. They're hyper-liberal. They don't allow free speech, blah, blah, blah. So Trump's like, good, axing that money, as he should. Now, here's the downside. Trump goes, I would rather send it to trade schools. How about we don't send it anywhere? How about we don't send money we don't have anywhere? How does that sound? How does that sound, Aaron? How about we don't send money to schools? How about? I thought this was supposed to be a capitalistic constitutional republic. How about everybody compete? How's that, instead of the government sending them money? Why does everybody expect the government? I mean, I see Republicans talking this way. Just like I saw Republicans talking about we can open safely, about COVID-19. There's nothing to open safely from. Stop speaking their language. Stop touting their narrative. Stop kowtowing and capitulating to their narrative. How about we just don't send anybody any money that we don't have? And even if we do have it, let's still not send it. How's that sound? Because, you know, this is supposed to be a constitutional republic that operates under the capitalistic umbrella. Why, I mean, explain to me why it is that we're socialist then. Why are we sending anybody any money? Why are we sending farmers money? Why? We actually pay farmers to not produce crops. Why? Why is the government involved in any of these things? It's like the reason why healthcare costs are so high is because the government is involved in the insurance process. It's the same reason why groceries go up. It's because of hyperinflation, because of the government printing money. 44% of our current currency was printed under the Biden administration. 44% of the currency that's in circulation right now is printed under the Biden administration. And we've been a country since 1776. Can you imagine this? That's exactly what's going on. So how about we just don't send money anywhere? All right, let's get Stephen Miller's retort to all this. And listen, I love Stephen Miller. So let's listen to what he has to say. I've seen a few claims making the rounds on the big, beautiful bill that require correction. The first is that it doesn't codify the DOGE cuts. A reconciliation bill, which is a budget bill that passes with 50 votes, is limited by Senate rules to mandatory spending only, e.g. Medicaid and food stamps. The Senate rules prevent it from cutting discretionary spending. The Department of Education or federal grants. The DOGE cuts are overwhelmingly discretionary, not mandatory. The bill saves more than $1.6 trillion in mandatory spending, including the largest ever welfare reform, a remarkable achievement. I've also seen claims the bill increases the deficit. This lie is based on a CBO accounting gimmick. Income tax rates from the 2017 tax cut are set to expire in September. They were always planned to be permanent. CBO says maintaining a current rates adds to the deficit. But by definition, leaving these income tax rates unchanged cannot add one penny to the deficit. The bill's spending cuts reduce the deficit against the current law baseline, which is the only current baseline to use. Go to the next one for me. So this is the second part of the tweet. Another fantastically false claim is that the bill spends trillions of dollars. This is just completely invented out of whole cloth. This is not a 10-year budget bill. It doesn't fund almost any operation of government, which are funded in the annual budget bills, which this is not. In other words, if this bill passed by the annual budget bill, but the annual budget bill did not, there would be no government funding. Under the math that critics are using, if we passed a one-paragraph reconciliation bill that cut simply $50 billion in food stamp spending, they would say the bill added trillions in spending and debt because they are counting all the projected federal spending that exists entirely outside the scope of this legislation, which is, of course, preposterous. The only funding in the bill is for the president's border and defense priorities, which enacting a net spending cut of over $1.7 trillion. The bill has two fiscal components, a massive tax cut and a massive spending cut. Now, if you look at this, you can bring it back to me. If you look at just kind of summarizing what Stephen Miller said, and you can find it, obviously, on his Twitter account, read it for yourself, dissect it a lot more than we're going to right here, is basically what he's saying is that the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, which allegedly is nonpartisan, just like all the nonpartisan NGOs that are fully staffed by Democrats, I guarantee you that 98% of the people that staff the CBO gave the Democrats. Okay, so we know that. So they're going, just like the Fed with Jerome Powell, sabotaging Trump. So some of the negatives that we're seeing about the BBB, the Big Beautiful Bill, are in fact false. A lot of them are true. It does add to the debt and deficit. It does. It does. That's a fact. Now, it may not add as much as people think because you can dissect how it is the calculations come to pass because the people that are coming up with those calculations are, in fact, Democratic Party operatives from the CBO. It's just like when you're dealing with NARA, which is National Archives, all Democrats. Any of those institutions, these establishment DC institutions, are fully staffed by Democrats. And that's, of course, on purpose. So it all depends on who's doing the math. But you have people like Ron Johnson, Rand Paul, Mike Lee that have dissected the bill, and it does add to the debts and deficits. But will it be offset by growth? Now, that's the other side that the CBO doesn't calculate. According to Stephen Miller, according to Donald Trump, according to the Trump administration, growth is going to at least compete with debts and deficits. So there'll be so much growth that it will negate to some extent, if not all, and maybe even overcome debts and deficits. That's what they're saying. And is Trump wrong on that? Well, he just added $14 trillion to the United States economy. There it is. That's how you sum it up. Do we know? Now, what we're going to do is that Aaron will never forget. Aaron's like an elephant, never forgets anything. So Aaron will remember and just like mark this date down because we'll come back 2 years from now and we'll see if we've had it or not. Aaron, do you have the debt clock?
Yep.
So let's put the debt clock up. So everybody screenshot that right now. There you go. $36,900,000,000. So screenshot that. And if it adds to the debts and deficits, we will know by the end of 2026.
Yep.
That's it. Actually, we'll know by the end of this year too because it depends on when the big, beautiful bill is enacted. That's what we'll know. So, I mean, this is all that counts. Would everybody agree? This is what counts. Everybody can say what they want. I love Stephen Miller. I think he's an absolute warrior. Love Donald Trump. I love Peter St. Ange. I love Rand Paul. I love Mike Lee. And they're definitely on opposite sides of these things. And I love Ron Johnson more than anybody in the Senate. He's probably pretty much my favorite senator because he stood up in the midst of COVID, in the midst of the vaccines, and risked his job like nobody else did. Outside of Rand Paul. Rand Paul did good with that too. But anyway, so this is it. Screenshot this right now. Everybody watching right now, screenshot this, and we will hold everybody accountable. I said that this bill will add to the debts and deficits. So if I'm wrong, I'll do what nobody else does. I'll come out and say I was wrong. And I'll say why I was wrong. But just remember, I also stipulated that Trump's argument is that his economic growth will overcome the debts and deficits, therefore negating the debts and deficits. So we will, and because his growth, there'll be so much tax revenue that the tax revenue will be $8 trillion coming in that negates the $7 trillion budget. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
There you go. So that's that on that. Let's go to the next thing. Where am I? I don't even know where I am. Proud of it. Here we go. Speaking of Stephen Miller, let's go to this one. Breaking, Trump Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller has reportedly demanded, supposedly there was a very heated meeting between Stephen Miller, Kristi Noem from DHS, both of them on the same side, ranting and raving, we want 3,000 deportations per day. Aaron, times that by 365. Tell me what that is when you get a chance. Per day during a meeting at ICE headquarters last week. So they are demanding that. So let's look into this now. So let's go to the border. This is what the title of the show is. So let's go to the border. Lives a TikTok video. Just in, ICE and FBI have raided the... You can just side-by-side that one, Will or Aaron. Just side-by-side it. Just letting you know. I'm going to show you the activity from ICE. They raided Nantucket. I love it. Once was a man from Nantucket. So there they raided it. 12 illegals arrested. There you go. That's if they do 3,000 a day, that's about 1.1 million per year, which isn't enough.
Yeah.
Joe Biden let in a minimum of 20 million. Go to the next one for me, Will. And wokeness video. ICE is now finding migrants hiding in, you can just side by side it, hiding in trees. I just want to show you what they're on and about doing so people know. You can see the date right there. So there they are. They actually have a couple migrants stuck up a tree. There he is. And ICE is on and about getting them. So we need to give credit where credit is due. I mean, hey, on the border, I mean, the thing is, you have the big, beautiful bill. And of course, I'm going to attack that because it's debts, you know, because it adds debts and deficit, potentially adds to the debt and deficit. But on the border, I mean, A plus, baby. On the economy, A plus, baby. I mean, Donald Trump's killing it. I mean, if you were to rate Donald Trump, it's an A. It's not an A plus, 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 but it's an A. Patel and Bongino, not so good. Kristi Noem, DHS, Tom Homan, A. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just got the COVID vaccine for kids removed off the CDC recommendation list, A, and a myriad of other things. Tulsi Gabbard, A. Pam Bondi, not good. Not good. Aaron, you got the you got Jeffrey Epstein flight log?
No.
We still don't have that. 128 days in. I just want to make sure we don't have the flight log yet.
I did get a binder, though.
Nice. That's right. We got a binder. Yeah, I mean, well, we weren't invited to get the binder, but we have pictures of people getting the binder. I'm actually glad I didn't get the binder because that was really a suppository.
Yeah.
Just so you know. Well, anyway, so let's go to the next one. I don't even know where I'm at. Well, where am I at? Red Wave
Breaking 9/11.
Breaking 9/11 video. We will play this one. A tip from the public led to the arrest of five illegal aliens near a box. Big box home improvement store in Baltimore. That's a good video. Play for me. So I just want to show you, these are all over, obviously all over the social media platforms. And there's a lot of accomplishments. Let's go back. Aaron, find me all the videos of ICE doing this during the Biden administration. There aren't any. What did the Biden administration ever? Were there ever any videos of any illegals being arrested ever? Not at all. We have lots of them being released. Go, Aaron.
We have videos of them helping them across the border.
Oh, yeah, we do have that. Yeah. We can play lots of videos of them being escorted across the border, flown across the border, driven across the border, and sex trafficked across the border, and fentanyl across the border, and child labor trafficking across the border. We have all of that. We've got that for sure. But anyway. This is a good one. Red Wave press video. It's a tragic story. This is why we have to have what Trump is doing. How many people have been killed by illegals? Red Wave press video. Let it speak for itself. Play for me.
Sandra, an 18-year-old girl who had just joined the Air Force, killed in a jet ski hit and run, and two illegal immigrants are now in custody. Fox News chief correspondent Jonathan Hunt is live in Los Angeles with the details of this tragedy. Jonathan?
Hey, John, the suspects were arrested 48 hours after the tragic accident that killed 18-year-old Ava Moore, who was kayaking on Grapevine Lake northwest of Dallas. On Sunday, investigators and witnesses say Moore was hit by a jet ski whose driver just kept going.
I turned around to look at the water and I could see her and the passenger on the jet ski going away from the incident, and they were waving toward like their people, and you could tell they were trying to get away.
The jet ski driver was identified by police as Daiklin Gonzalez. She left the lake area in a vehicle allegedly driven by Michael Coelho Perozo. Both were arrested Tuesday, and both suspects, according to officials, are from Venezuela and are in the U.S. illegally.
It's my understanding both individuals crossed the southern border in 2023 or 2024. They were arrested at the time of entry, processed for a notice to appear, and then released on their own recognizance.
Now, Texas Governor Greg Abbott is threatening the suspects with the ultimate punishment, writing on X, quote, "Welcome to Texas. Here's your death penalty." Ava Moore was a former high school basketball star who graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy Prep School on May 19th and had just accepted a place at the academy as part of the class of 2029. The Air Force Academy superintendent called Moore an exemplary teammate whose, quote, "passion for leadership and service left an impact on everyone she met." And the academy wrote on its Instagram tribute to Moore, quote, "Ava, may you find blue skies and tailwinds as you rest forever in peace."
First of all, you have the false narrative where you hear the left constantly saying that Americans commit far more crimes than illegals. That is absolutely false, and I'm not talking about their original felony of entering the country illegally. They commit more crimes than we do, period. They flat out do. Plus, we have no statistical data on crimes anymore because of how Joe Biden changed the reporting, the mandatory reporting to the UCR, which I don't have time to get into right now. But Ava Moore would have been a officer in the United States Air Force, and now she's dead because one illegal ran her over with a jet ski, didn't even stop to see if she needed help. Maybe she could have been saved. Just left her in the water. Wonderful human beings let in by the Biden administration. Both of them, the person who drove her away and the killer herself, were let in by the Biden administration, were caught at the border, get this, Will, get this, Aaron, and released. And that Ava Moore would be alive if it wasn't for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas. They'd be alive. That's a fact. There's no denying that. Listen to this one. MJ Truth, this is why we have to have Tom Homan. And thank God we do. And this is why you have to get these people out of the country. They're not good people. They're touted as good people all the time. And I'm not saying that all of them rise to this level of evil, but they all committed a crime coming into the country. They're not good people. MJ Truth Ultra video, she tried to flee the U.S. and Cash Patel said no. Nice little fraudulent scheme here. And I believe Tampon Tim State of Minnesota. Play for me.
Julie, we told you last week how the federal raid of a St. Paul nonprofit signaled that the U.S. Attorney's Office is not done charging new suspects in this case. Today they said that as soon as news of that raid broke, Hebo Dar booked an urgent international flight.
Hebo Dar is now the 71st person to be charged in the $250 million Feeding Our Future pandemic meal fraud case. Court records show she claimed to serve 1 million meals to children out of this office in a business center on East Hennepin Avenue and collected $2.4 million in taxpayer money. But federal investigators believe her meal site, Northside Wellness, was fake and that she only spent less than $2,000 on food. According to the criminal complaint, Dar's case included all the telltale signs of the sprawling fraud. She wrote checks to Hadith Ahmed, a Feeding Our Future employee who's already pleaded guilty and says checks like those were bribes. There are emails Dar sent to Amy Bach, the former executive director of Feeding Our Future, convicted by a jury this year, including meal count sheets the FBI says are fake. In those meal counts, the complaint says that by April 2021, Dar claimed to be serving about 40,000 meals to children every week. After Bach was convicted, it was unclear whether the feds intended to charge any additional suspects in the case. But late last week, the FBI raided a St. Paul nonprofit, New Vision Foundation, signaling they weren't finished. As news of that raid spread, prosecutors say Dar booked a flight to Dubai, set to leave 3 days later. The FBI arrested her at the airport before she could board. In court, the prosecutor said they informed Dar in April that she was one of the new targets of their investigation. They told the judge they believe she tried to escape, thinking charges are coming soon.
Now in court, Dar's lawyer said that she was just traveling to visit her sick mother. But then she got caught in a lie, claiming that she hadn't traveled overseas since 2022. The prosecutors then pulled out her passport right in the courtroom and showed that she had been traveling regularly since then to several countries. She is now in the Sherburne County Jail. Julie?
Every time you think this story can't take another twist, it does.
All right, so there you go. Let's just break this down again. Dar, Dar, a 50-year-old immigrant. I don't care anymore what the freaking names are. Breaking the 71st foreign suspect was arrested from Minnesota. This is 71 people from Tampon Tim's scheme that he allowed to just unfold right before his very eyes and did absolutely nothing about it. The 71st foreign suspect was arrested from Minnesota's $250 million fraud scheme from the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme by the FBI. Hibo Dar, a 50-year-old immigrant of Eden Prairie, Minnesota, was arrested by the FBI at Minnesota St. Paul International Airport. She attempted to flee the U.S. to Dubai. I just have to get the stats to you. This nonprofit was linked to $250 million pandemic. Pandemic money. I knew it was the pandemic thing. I wasn't for sure, but this is all the... Minnesota, I believe, was one of the worst, if not the worst, state in the union under Tampon Tim. Remember, he just allowed... Antifa and BLM to burn down cities. He didn't care at all. Didn't mind at all. Just told the police, stand down, let him burn down the cities. Remember his wife, when she opened up the window, she was like, I love the smell of burned up tires. She loved it. And that's who these people are. So this all under Tampon Tim, this happened. And by the way, he was notified. I don't know if it was about this specific fraud scheme, but he was notified about it and he was concerned about the political implications of shutting it down or investigating it because it was Muslim people involved, like Hibu Dar. Dar was the executive director of Northside Wellness Center, a Minneapolis-based organization that received $1.8 million in fraudulent meal reimbursements. I love the actual numbers here. Federal authorities say out of the $1.8 million she received, she only spent about $2,000, just like a typical Democratic Party NGO, on doing that which the money's supposed to go to. Typical Democratic Party NGO, they give you $5 million to feed the kids. And what happens in that NGO? They actually pay themselves $4,995,000 to dispense $5,000 worth of food. That's what they always do. Every time. Same thing here. Say, why are they arresting Hibu Dar? Why are they arresting her and not Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton? They have the exact same scheme. National Endowment for Democracy, same scheme. USAID, same scheme. Exactly the same scheme. Jewish Family Services at the border, same scheme. Catholic Family Services at the border, same scheme. That's what they all do. They receive $1 billion to help kids at the border. They pay themselves $995 million to themselves to dispense $5 million out of the billion they were given. That's what they always do, every time. Right, look at this one. Lips of TikTok video. Breaking, ICE has arrested an illegal alien who threatened to assassinate President Trump. Listen to this guy's track record. Play for me.
Illegal migrant now in custody after allegedly writing that he'll self-deport after shooting President Trump. In a letter that he sent to an ICE agent, the 54-year-old Mexican national has illegally entered the U.S. at least 9 times and has a lengthy rap sheet. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem reacting in a statement saying, quote, thanks to our ICE officers, this illegal alien who threatened to assassinate President Trump is behind bars. All politicians and members of the media should take notice of these repeated attempts on President Trump's life and tone down their rhetoric. I will continue to take all measures necessary to ensure the protection of President Trump. All right, John.
Another glorious immigrant right there, let in by lax southern border policies, And that guy was deported. I don't know how many times and how many crimes he committed once he was here, but let in by the Biden administration once again. Now, this next one is actually hysterical because this is an ex-alerts video. Alert California makes it legal for illegals to oversee elections. Right now, this is happening. Right now, as a mayor, I mean, again, you're picking an 80-20 issue. Really, it's not an 80-20 issue. It's a 95-5 issue. But anyway, Americans are vastly in favor of shutting down the southern border. And in the midst of that, Gavin Newsom's California is voting to allow illegals to oversee our elections. That's not, by the way, that's not hyperbole. It's absolutely true. But what I really, this is about that right here. But there's not much about the substance of the bill in this video. I put it on here because I want you to hear the Democrats accuse this Republican from their house floor. Is the House floor? Yeah, from their house floor in the state of California. Play it for me.
Assemblymember DeMaio, you were recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in strong opposition to AB 930. It does not modernize the way people vote. It adds the ability for non-citizens to serve as recount board members. I'm not sure why a non-citizen should have any business serving on a board overseeing a U.S. election. That's not how people vote in America. I don't know where you hang out, but it's not where people vote, how most people vote that I talk to on both sides of the aisle.
Mr. DeMaio, just a moment. Mr. Berman, state your point of order, please.
I asked my colleague from San Diego not to hurl insults at fellow assembly members on the assembly floor.
Hurl insults. Mr. DeMaio. Mr. Berman, your point is well taken. Mr. DeMaio, please use decorum.
I think most Californians would wonder.
Did anybody hear an insult? Congressman Berman. Congressman Cuckboy Berman, we want to admonish our colleague to not hurl insults at fellow assembly members, and then it's backed up by this person that's either the Speaker of the House or standing in for the Speaker?
Yeah.
This actually backed up, he actually affirms that statement? Where was the insult?
Use some decorum.
Can you abide by the decorum rules of the House? Where was the insults? I mean, this is what typical Democrats. Like to admonish him not to hurl insults at fellow assembly members? Where?
They've never been around.
What insult was ever actually hurled at anyone? None. Not one. I mean, what was said? Nothing. I mean, it's truly amazing. I mean, what they will use to cover up their own ridiculous bills, because they know how ridiculous it is, that you're going to enable illegals to count ballots or oversee elections? So to cover that up, they have to falsely accuse Carl DeMaio of hurling insults. All right, change the subjects now. Overton video. New freed Israeli hostage says Hamas captors were terrified of Trump. Play it for me.
Very scared of him. Yeah, they wanted...
Who?
Terrorists.
Were afraid of Trump.
Yeah, they wanted Kamala to be chosen, to be elected.
You talked politics with them?
Yeah. They wanted Kamala to be elected. When Trump became president, yeah, the way they treated us changed for me personally. This is what I think felt.
Because they anticipated that a deal would come soon.
Yeah.
And that's when they started giving you more food.
Exactly. More food, treated me better, you know, stopped cursing me, stopped spitting on me.
Yeah, the CNN reporter tries to steer it away from Trump, saying, well, they knew that help was coming soon or whatever it was she said. But no, the reason why is because they're absolutely terrified of Donald Trump. As soon as Trump won, and just for the record, all you Democrats, I know there's probably none watching, but you can make sure you forward this thing to Democrats that you know. Just for all the Democrats out there, for the record, the hostage said Hamas was rooting for Kamala, for the record. And they are terrified of Donald Trump. And the moment, I mean, how much more could you want out of a president? And how much more could you find out about a potential president confirming the very fact you should never vote for her when Hamas is rooting for her to win? That should confirm to anybody that is not who I should vote for. The people who behead people and rape women and children. You know, I probably ought not to vote for the candidate that Hamas is rooting for. Democrats. But again, the guy simply says, you know, at the moment they found out Trump won, my torture stopped. They fed me better. They treated me better instantly. That in and of itself confirms that Donald Trump is better than any Democrat that could possibly have ever run, because it would have been the exact opposite if any Democrat would have won. All right, let's look at some other corruption. George video. Whoa, former Kennedy Center officials. Why do you talk about the Kennedy Center so much? Because it is a theater, an auditorium, giant auditorium theater that you and I pay for. Again, why? Why do we pay for any auditorium? What does that have to do with the government? I mean, can anybody ask that question? Why in the world are you and I paying for the Nutcracker? For bougie leftist bourgeois elitists to go and see the Nutcracker on Christmas Eve? Why are you and I ever, why do we pay for the Kennedy Center to be built? Why? Why are we paying for an entire staff to run the Kennedy Center to begin with? It's the same thing with NPR and PBS, which, by the way, NPR is now suing Donald Trump because he cut off their funding. But anyway, so former Kennedy Center officials are in big trouble now because they're revealing corruption inside the running of the Kennedy Center. Play it for me.
Our great new CFO went through the 24 and 25 budgets of the Kennedy Center and found $26 million in phantom revenue, fake revenue. It's criminal. We're going to refer this to the U.S. Attorney's Office here. We're lucky enough to have the Attorney General on the board of the Kennedy Center, who heard all the details today. She heard the details. And this is unacceptable in America, to have a fake revenue of $26 million fraud on previous donors.
So they're creating donor donations. But is that not a felony? Again, that's just like Act Blue. Act is typical. The Democrats have been running the Kennedy Center for decades. Decades. You're like, no, there's Trump was president. Doesn't matter. When Trump was president, he didn't know any better. From 17 to 21, he didn't know any better. So he just left these Democrats running these things. Remember, you had all these different, Democratic politicians that were still part of his NSC, National Security Council. You had all of that going on. So, I mean, because he just didn't know any better to get rid of all these people. He didn't realize they were going to be sabotaging him the entire time. But regardless of that, this has been run by Democrats. The Kennedy Center has been run by Democrats for decades. They have $26 million in phantom donations. They use that to negotiate contracts. That's all felonious fraud. This is right out of Letitia James' book. You create something that's not real to get a better deal. It's like she did on all of her mortgages for decades. For decades. Every time she signed one of those documents, she committed a felony crime of mortgage fraud. Same thing here. These people need to go to federal prison. They really do. All of them. Let's go to the next one. So New York Post tweet. So Harvard, I could spend a whole show on the back and forth between Donald Trump and Harvard, but this is just a good little side note here. Harvard Medical School morgue manager, that you and I probably pay for, admits to stealing organs and selling them on the black market. Isn't that fantastic? Harvard, man, what a great institution they are. We ought to just keep sending them $2 billion a year. Would everybody agree? No wonder Donald Trump is axing their funding. Good deal. Go to the next one for me. Nick Sordor tweet. Breaking. President Trump has just issued a full pardon to the unvaxxed former Army officer who was persecuted by the Biden regime. Lieutenant Mark Bashaw refused to follow COVID orders and was convicted. What are you convicted of? What? Convicted by a military judge for arriving to the office without wearing a mask. Convicted of what? That's a crime? Arriving to the office without a mask is a crime? I guess maybe they put it under insubordination? I mean, truly amazing. Full pardon. A lot of these folks, I think a lot of them don't want to come back in the military, but they all need to be rehired with back pay or given all their back pay if they don't want to be rehired. All right, let's go to the next one. Just random stories right now. Peter Sweden, it begins. Six U.S. states are banning fake lab-grown Bill Gates meat. Florida, boom. And by the way, Florida today institutionalized gold and silver as currency. In in Florida. So gold can now be used as currency in Florida. Amazing. Florida, Alabama, Montana, Indiana, Nebraska, Mississippi reject the Klaus Schwab agenda. Obviously, they want to switch everybody over to lab-grown meat so that you are dependent on those labs. And access, again, the whole globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist narrative and agenda is to leverage you into a one-world commerce system, that CBDC and social credit systems, with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by Schwab. I know he stepped down now from WEF, but people like Schwab, Beijing, D.C., London, Davos, Glasgow, whatever. That's what it is. Leverage you into one world. That's the narrative. That is the agenda. Leverage you into one world commerce system with a singular access point to all commerce controlled by the globalist leftist. That's what they want you to do. So in other words, that's what climate change is all about. They want to get you into a 15-minute city where everything in life is connected to a grid that they can turn on and off. Finances, electrical, medical, everything. Controlled on a grid that they can turn on and off if you do not behave correctly. All of that infrastructure was built because of the vaccine passport. They put all of the CBDC social credit system infrastructure in place using the vaccine passport to do so. Is to build the vaccine passport infrastructure is the same as CBDC infrastructure. It is the same as social credit system infrastructure. You can't buy, sell, trade, or travel without it. That is the point of it all. Revelation chapter 13, 16, and 17. Revelation chapter 14, 9 through 16. Read those. That's what it's all about. That's what's going to happen at some point. And you and I need to be the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 3 through 8, great restraining. You and I need to be the restraining. We don't capitulate. We don't cooperate. It is not Christ-like to capitulate and cooperate. It is Christ-like to obey his word. And this is a great thing. It'll be one more state after another. And then Illinois will institutionalize lab-grown meat. California, Oregon, and Washington will institute lab-grown meat. And then cut off all your farming so they control the food supply. That's what it's all about. All right, go to the next one for me. I have to just show you these things because it's fun. And Will loves them. This is all for Will. This is the Will section of the show, is the Dylan Mulvaney stuff. He loves it. And if I really wanted to torment Will, I do the military one where the guys, they do the old snap pose, and the military man turns into a woman, and they use that man as a military recruiter for record low recruitment. That's what happened. All right, entertainment. Trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney nabs a women's ad campaign. For Jean-Paul, Aaron, how do you pronounce the last one? Gaultier? Something like that? What do you think? Gaultier?
Yeah, probably Gaultier.
Gaultier. So there you go. So he nabs another women's ad campaign.
Good.
And no women will protest it because they're afraid of the societal implications of protesting it. So they lose their jobs and lose their livelihoods. And I just love it now because all the white actors aren't getting jobs anymore because all the commercials on TV, it's all a black man with a white woman, a white woman with a black man, white man with a black woman, Asian this, and they all have Asian kids and whatever it is. And everybody's losing their jobs and they won't say a word about it because of the societal implications of doing so, because of the insults that they'll receive if they do so, what they'll be accused of, transphobic, racist, whatever it may be. I just love it. They're all good. They are sowing the seeds of their own economic demise. Go to the next one for me. Lives a TikTok tweet. Just then, the DOJ has launched a Title IX investigation into whatever that jurisdiction is after they allow, which is in California, by the way, they allowed a male to invade the girls' track and field championships and steal victories from female athletes. Okay, can we all just agree that's noticeably a man? That's a man right there. You see his face. That's a man. Adam's apple. That's a man. He can contort and suck in whatever he wants to suck in and tape up whatever he wants to tape up and create a fake little groinal region. All he wants, that's a dude. All right. Now, I've been waiting all show to get to this one video right here. Cat. This is a cat video. I'm going to let this video pretty much speak for itself. Here's the title. Justified. The homeowners should sue the parents, but the parents are suing the homeowners. You just got to see it. I want it to speak for itself. Play it for me.
My homeowner shot and killed 3 masked teenage intruders, even though he insists it was self-defense. The parents of the teens are still demanding that he be prosecuted. This happened in Rockdale County, Georgia. At around 4, 3 masked teenagers appeared in the neighborhood. They tried to break into a home to commit a robbery, but gunfire from inside the house brought them down. All three suspects died after being shot. Two were pronounced dead at the hospital, and one died at the scene. Later, the families confirmed that among the victims were the brothers, ages 15 and 16. After the incident, the parents of these teenagers called for the homeowner to be prosecuted, saying he took the lives of their three sons. However, multiple eyewitnesses confirmed that all three teens were masked and armed. During the attempted break-in, the suspects fired at the homeowner first, and the resident returned fire in self-defense. Police also concluded that under Georgia's self-defense and stand your ground laws, the homeowner's actions were considered lawful self-defense. So do you think this was self-defense? Leave your thoughts in the comments.
How is this even a question where you have to lean on Georgia's self-defense laws, stand your ground laws? Why would you even need to discuss it? Why is this even a police investigation beyond the first night? Why is this even ever going, if it ever does? Why would this ever go in front of a judge? Ever? It's like the Rittenhouse case. It's on video. A guy has a locked and loaded a 9mm gross Krantz pointed at his head, and he gets shot, and he gets accused Rittenhouse gets prosecuted for attempted murder for blowing his bicep off. He has a gun pointed at his head. The other guy's beating him in the back of the neck with a skateboard, and he gets shot. The other one's grabbing at his gun, and he gets shot. Well, that's what happens, dude. There's no question here. I mean, let's look at this now. We'll rename these three Georgia students. That's probably how CNN's going to frame the story. We all need to be tracking this story, just like we need to be tracking that orca story out of France and see how these things actually turn out. But all three guys have ski masks on, fully hooded up, fully masked, black clothing on, break into the home and open fire. They break into the home, commit a crime. What crime they want to commit? They steal all their stuff, rape the wife, whatever it may be. And they fire on the homeowner first, and then all three of them get killed, as they should have. And the parents say that the homeowner killed their kids? No, their kids committed suicide by going into a home in the middle of the night, fully masked, and opening fire on the owner. And by the way, even if they didn't open fire on them, they're fully justified in shooting all three of those kids. I would. You would. Why is this even a question? But that's modern culture. They're going to sue the homeowner for killing their kids? You ought to be mourning yourself as a parent. You ought to be denigrating yourself for being the worthless parent that you are, that your 16 or 15-year-old is running around in the middle of the night, breaking in to be home, invading somebody's home. Please. All right, that's it. There we go. Rumble Rants tonight. Texas Billy, $50. R-Star, $77. $20. Todd Suff, $10. Robin Aroni, $10. Mike Griffith, $5. Thank you, guys, in the rant. Thank you so much in the rant. Love you guys so much. Thank you, guys, in the chat. Stick around for the post game. Like I told you, you got to stick around for the last video of Tommy Robinson's release. It'll make you cry. It is fantastic. Love you all. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.